Bibles, could you please take them out and turn to the book of Isaiah? Our Bible reading for our sermon tonight is a short reading. It's just a single verse. So could you please turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And the theme of this evening is, what if Jesus had never been born? So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. God's word says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. This is God's word. Let us pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we come now to a time of looking at your word. I do ask that you would speak to us, that, Lord, we would see the glories of Christ, the wonder of our Saviour. May we be amazed at all that he has achieved, and may we long to see him do more in our day and in our age. Oh, Lord, would you please be glorified tonight? For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, over the past few weeks, we have been waiting in anticipation for Christmas to arrive. The kids have been counting down the days until Christmas in my house, and now that it has arrived, it's all done, it's all dusted, many of us are starting to move away from the Christmas period. In my home, we have a tradition. I don't know where the tradition began, but on Boxing Day, the tree disappears. The Christmas decorations get pulled down. It's as if we've just gone, that's enough, we're done. And we pack away our good cheer and say, bah humbug, until next year. No, but we pack it all down and we say, look, Christmas is over. The anticipation has come, it has gone. It is now time to move on. However, tonight I want us to think about Christmas once again, not so much in anticipation of the coming child, but rather I want us to think and to ask the question, what would the world be like if Jesus had never been born? It's one thing in the lead up to Christmas for us to look forward and say, the Saviour, the Christ is coming. We look forward to the birth of Jesus. But what if he had never been born? Tonight I want us to consider the impact that the Lord Jesus has had upon this earth. Now it's very easy at this time of year for us to think merely of Bethlehem, merely of the shepherds in the field, merely of the Christ child in the cradle, that we don't actually stop to consider the impact that that child would have upon society. So tonight I want us to break in our normal style of preaching, and instead of having an expositional sermon where we're working through a passage of scripture, tonight I thought it would be appropriate to have a topical sermon, a short topical message examining some of the ways Christ has impacted our culture. Now, we who live in the West may not actually realize this, but our heritage, how we do things, our culture is all directly influenced by Jesus Christ. Even today, even in a society that is casting off the freedom of Christianity, we need to realize that everything we do, every way we operate, how we do things in our society has its roots in Christianity. I don't know if you've ever seen those cartoons where there's a scene where a character always seems to climb up onto a branch of a tree that is hanging over a sheer cliff. And in a moment of madness and comic genius for us who are viewing, that character pulls out a sword and he starts to cut off the branch that he is sitting upon. Now we know instantly the moment he cuts that branch off, he's plummeting to his doom. And we laugh at that, although in today's politically correct culture, you're probably not allowed to make cartoons like that. But that is an image of what our society is actually doing. Our culture, our society is built upon Christianity. We sit on the branch of Christianity. But our society has pulled out the saw of secularism and they've begun to cut off the branch that they are sitting upon. We don't realize this, but our way of life, our culture, everything we hold dear, our civilization, is built upon the truths of Christianity. You see, our culture has been so impacted by Christ that many of us just take it for granted. Even the simplest things, such as writing the date, has a direct influence from the birth of Jesus Christ. We have BC, before Christ, AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. We have our dating system set up around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's true that in today's secular culture, we are told that this is not the politically correct way of telling the date. We need to be secular. We need to be anti-Christian in our mindset, we are told. So instead of saying BC, before Christ, they will now say you have to have BCE, before common era. And instead of AD, the year of our Lord, you have CE, common era. And even when I studied at a theological college, our academic lecturers were saying that we could no longer use BC and AD. Instead, we had to use BCE and CE because that is what the world requires. They are trying to remove Christ. But something that's interesting is this. Even though we try to remove Christ from our dating system and move to BCE or CE, the question, the elephant in the room that we have to address is this. When did the Common Era start? It started with the birth of a child. Try as we may, we cannot get away from the impact of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may try to move away from him, but every time we write the date, be it BCE or CE, we are still declaring that Christ has come and Christ has impacted the world. The most hard-hearted atheist that writes books denouncing Christianity still has to declare the lordship of Jesus Christ when he writes the year of publication in the front of his work. And this evening I want us to consider the impact of Jesus. Now tonight we cannot do an exhaustive study of all the areas that Christ has impacted in our culture, because that would take many, many weeks, many, many, many lectures, and even then we would only be scratching the surface. But tonight I want us to look at just a few points in particular relating to the issue of life, about showing how Jesus has impacted our daily lives and how we live and view each other. But before we look at the impact of Christ in relation to how we view each other and how we live, let's look again at Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. As our text says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now, as I've mentioned in previous sermons in the lead up to Christmas, where we've referenced the book of Isaiah, what we have here is a prophecy written 700 years before the coming of Christ. Now, normally when we look at Isaiah chapter 9, we focus in on verse 6 and verse 7, which declares who the child is that will be born. Indeed, I have preached a sermon in recent weeks from that passage. But here in verse 2, we are told that the one who will be born will have a massive impact on the world. But we also see what the world is like when it's devoid of Jesus Christ. We see what the world is like when we don't have Christ. We ask the question, what if Christ hadn't been born? Well, Isaiah 9 verse 2 describes what the world was like before the coming of Jesus. Notice what our text says. Our text says the world was in darkness and the people dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. The world was in darkness and we lived in the land of the shadow of death. Now, this language being used here speaks of both our individual spiritual state before God, but it also speaks of the spiritual condition of society and culture. The Bible here is commenting on what life is really like without Jesus Christ. It speaks of what the world is like without the light of Jesus. It is speaking of what our nation would be like apart from Christ. Without Jesus, we would be a people in darkness, and we would be a people who dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Now, something we need to realize is that this is our default position. This is the position of all of humanity. We are all in the dark spiritually. That is to say, we are all cut off from the source of light, God Himself. Now, this darkness that our society has, this darkness that we have in our own life, is as a result of our rebellion. It is as a result of our sin. And to see the proof that our society and our world is in darkness, all you have to do is turn on the TV news. All you have to do is turn on the media, and you can see that there's darkness in our communities. There is darkness in our families. There is darkness in our nation. There is darkness in our government. And if we look close enough, we see that without Jesus Christ, there is even darkness in our own lives. You see, our lives and the darkness that we have inside of each and every one of us directly influences our community. If you want to know why the world is the way it is, we need to look at individuals. You see, a people who live in darkness, a people who do not have the light of Jesus, want a society that is dark. If you live in spiritual darkness, if you live in the land of the shadow of death, then you will want our society to be just like that. We will want the darkness that we enjoy to be the mainstream in our community. And as a result, we vote for government, laws and practices which dwell in the same darkness that we do. The darkness we see in the nation, in reality, is an extension of the darkness of our own hearts. Hearts that are devoid of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the picture the Bible gives us of life without Christ. Darkness and the shadow of death. But our text also gives us hope. The text tells us that into this dark world, a great light will come. And a light has shined. So what happens when you shine a light into the darkness? I mean, think of it this way. Imagine we turned off all the lights here in the chapel. We made it really dark on this cold winter's night. There'd be great darkness in this building. The moment the light turns on, the darkness would vanish. And this is what happened with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world lay in darkness. People were spiritually in the dark. But Christ, the light of the world, comes into the darkness. And this is one of the reasons that we celebrate Christmas. This is one of the reasons that we have such joy at this time of year. The light has shined in the darkness. In the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, we are told the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome or comprehended it. As a result of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual darkness has begun to flee, and society has actually begun to change for the better. Now hear me carefully. When I say that with the coming of Jesus, society changed for the better, I'm not saying there was no shadows. I'm not saying that everything has become a utopia. We know that certainly isn't the case. But what I am saying is that the birth of Jesus Christ, the light coming into the darkness, has had a massive impact on the world for good. He brings about gradual change for the better. And tonight, as we continue in our passage, I want us to look at just a few of the positive ways that Jesus has changed everything. I know it's easy in our secular culture to forget the impact of Jesus. So let me just list some of the ways that Jesus has changed our lives for the better. Now, due to time limitations and the fact that you don't want to sit here for hours listening to me, we're going to just look at how Jesus has impacted human life, the value of human life. You see, the birth of Jesus Christ, it should go without saying, was very special. And not just because it was the birth of a baby. That's wonderful in and of itself. But the birth of Jesus Christ was special and unique because it declares to us that God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, has put on flesh and come to dwell amongst us. He lowered himself to become like us in order to rescue us from our sins. Now that speaks to us of the kindness and love of God. But it also declares loudly that human life has value. God chose to become a man in order to save us. He didn't become an animal. He didn't become some other form of molecules in motion. No, Christ put on flesh. This tells us that humanity is special, that humanity has value, that humanity has dignity. In fact, the Bible has always taught this, even back in the beginning in Genesis 1, 26 to 27. We are told that when God made Adam and Eve, he made them in his image and after his likeness. The Bible declares that humans have value and worth because God made us and also because our Savior became like us to rescue us. And if we start to have that mindset of life, that life has value because God made us in his image and because Jesus became flesh to rescue us. When we start with that mindset, the way we view the lives of other people, of other image bearers, will be radically different. You see, with the coming of Jesus, how people viewed each other began to change. For instance, I want us to think of how our view of children changed because of Jesus. A few years ago in Australia, there was a royal commission conducted into child sexual abuse in different organisations. And this royal commission uncovered some terrible, terrible things. But at the conclusion of that commission, it was declared that children are special and they should be protected. And that's a true statement. It's a statement we take for granted. And the reason we take it for granted is because we live in a society that has been impacted by Christianity. You see, we should sit back when we hear a statement like children are special and have value, and we should ask the question, why? Where does this concept that children need protection and care come from? Well, it's a fruit of the coming of Christ. You see, when Jesus was born, when the light first entered into the darkness, the Roman world had no concept of children having value or worth. In fact, if you read the Roman historical records, many children were viewed as an inconvenience and they were viewed as property. If a father did not want a child, then that baby would be abandoned to die. Girls in particular were abused and killed as they weren't seen as being valuable. As a result, the Roman world practiced such evil things as abortion and infanticide. It was commonplace not just to kill babies in the womb, but to leave babies out in the element after birth so they could die. But with the coming of Jesus, all that changed. The Lord Jesus came along and he said children had value and worth. He invited the children to come to him, and he rebuked those who forbid them. The Lord Jesus invited children, and the Bible teaches that children are precious because they too are made in the image of God. But another reason we know that children are precious and have value and dignity and worth and should be protected is because our Savior chose to come into the world as a child. He chose to come into the world as a baby, which tells us that even from the womb, life has value. The scripture declares to us that children are a gift from God and that children are wonderfully and fearfully made. They are precious in the sight of God. Now that stood in stark contrast to the dark world. That stood in contrast to a world without Christ. Christ came along and said children have value and worth and dignity. And the early church ran with that idea. They said, that's true. Our Saviour became a child. So we will care for children. So the early church fought to stop abortion and infanticide. If they saw children abandoned to the elements, Christians would take that child into their own home and raise that child as if it was their own son or daughter. The early church opened up church buildings so that people could drop their children off instead of abandoning them. They also founded care homes and orphanages. They provided assistance to families and cared for children in need. That is why we have so many charities to this day that focus on the care of children. They all had their origins in Christianity. Now all this took time and it took much effort, but by following the teachings of Jesus, such wicked actions such as abortion nearly became non-existent in the West. That is until the last century, when our nations began to cast off the teaching of Christ and returned again to paganism. You see, Christmas reminds us that all life is precious because God chose to be born as a baby. If Jesus had never been born, what kind of world would this be for children? The light has come to the darkness. The next area I want us to consider that has been impacted by Jesus is in relation to women. Women. Now today there's much discussion over the role of women. Women's rights, equality, etc. But did you know that before the coming of Jesus, the concept of women's rights and being counted as equal was non-existent. The Jews used to pray, thank God I'm a Jew and thank God I'm not a woman. That was one of their prayers. But the coming of Jesus changed all that. In our 21st century existence, we can still see the darkness in some cultures that are devoid of Christianity, cultures that are dominated by religions such as Islam, where we see that in those lands, women are considered as property. They're considered as only having half the worth of a man. In Islamic culture, a woman's testimony in court is not viewed as being equal to that of a man because she has no value. The Christian worldview, on the other hand, says that women have value and worth because Christ has made women. God made them male and female in His image. Women have value and worth because of Jesus. Now, that's not to say that we don't have different abilities and different roles. We do. But as humans, we are counted as equal in the sight of God. Now, this teaching was revolutionary at the time of Christ, and this thought of women being equal never arose from the secular state. Secular society likes to march up and down now saying, we're all about women. That's a load of rubbish. The secular state has never been pro-women. It's Christianity that's always said women have value and worth. The secular state followed Greek philosophy, and the Greek philosophers viewed women as less than animals. The Greek philosopher Aristotle said that women were somewhere in value between a free man and a slave. He wasn't quite sure of their value. Plato taught that if a man lived a cowardly life, then he would be reincarnated as a woman. But if a woman lived a cowardly life, she would come back as a bird. That's what the secular state taught. The lives of women in non-Christian cultures were viewed as being cheap. But Jesus doesn't allow us to take those views. He cared for women. He treated them with dignity and worth. We see that in John chapter 4, when a woman who was of ill repute came to Jesus, a woman who would have been a social outcast came to him, he treated her just like everyone else. He spoke to her. He showed love to her. She was treated kindly by the Saviour. He broke social norms by speaking to her. later on in the same gospel, the Lord Jesus talks about a woman who was caught in adultery and they wanted to kill her, but Christ steps in and he stops that. He shows compassion on her and he doesn't condemn her. Instead, he says, go and sin no more. You see, Christianity has actually elevated the dignity and worth of women. In societies where Christianity is not in the majority or cultures that have not had a historic foundation of Christianity, women's rights are non-existent. Take, for example, India. India, before the coming of missionaries, had a practice known as seti. That's known as widow burning. In that culture, it said that when a man died, his widow had no value and no worth, so she was to be burnt alive on the funeral pyre. And it was Baptist missionaries such as William Carey that stood up and said, that's wrong. Women have value and worth. And the Indians said, we don't believe that. I read an account of one of the British political officers speaking to a Hindu leader who was all for seti. And the Hindu leader said, you must understand that in our culture, women have no value and worth, therefore we burn widows. And the English politician, who was influenced by Christianity, said, I appreciate your culture, but you must understand that in our culture, women have value. So in our culture, if someone kills a woman, we hang the man who did that. And if you insist upon practicing your culture, we will practice ours. Seti disappeared very quickly. See, Christianity said women have dignity and worth. And that's all because of Jesus. But today in the Hindu areas, the militant Hindu areas of India, we see that they have practiced strongly sex-selected abortion, which means that if girls are going to be born, they kill them, or they abandon them after birth. And this is common in most areas where Christianity is not dominant. If Jesus had never been born, what would the world be like for women? The light has come to the darkness. The third point I want you to think about is the elderly. Now, in our church, we have many grey hairs. And that's a good thing. It's good to have older people in the church. We should be learning from their wisdom. They've got years of experience. Older people have value, dignity, and worth. We should look up to the more mature people in our congregations. And we should say, teach us. Help us not to make the same mistakes you made. Teach us from your wisdom. You see, in our culture, historically, older people have been viewed as people who should be respected. Now, I notice in some shopping centres that when you come into park, they often have parking areas designated for children, parents with children, the disabled, and some even have parking for older people. They're saying, we care for the elderly so much, we want to make it easier for you to park your car and get into the shops. Yet this care and respect for the elderly is not something that has always been around. If we could get in a time machine and go back to the time of Jesus, to the time when the light came into the darkness, we would see that there were not many older people around. And the reason for this is that society viewed the grey-haired people as being useless. They said you had passed your prime and you could no longer contribute to society, and as a result, older people were abandoned and left to die. But if we start with the mindset that Christ gives us, the mindset that says God made all people and that Jesus became human, then we cannot have disrespect or lack of care for the elderly. Instead, we must view that all life, from fertilization to death, as being precious in the sight of God. Today our politicians are discussing what we can do with the elderly, and instead of caring for them or having families care for them, there's much discussion over mercy killings or euthanasia. But Jesus rejects such ideas. If Christ had never been born, then what would it be like for the elderly in our society? The light has come to the darkness. And the final point I want to mention in relation to the value of life is in relation to slavery. In 2020, the Western world was aflame with people protesting slavery. Not modern slavery, but rather slavery from centuries ago. For some reason, people were protesting what was done 200 years ago, while ignoring the modern slave trade. For instance, up in Bristol, there was mass protests that pulled down a statue of a man who owned slaves. And in the media it says, we condemn slavery, and we must condemn slavery. Slavery is wrong. But when someone says something is right or something is wrong, we need to stop and ask a question. Why is it wrong? Why is slavery wrong? What standard do we use to determine good or bad? Now, the answer we have is to say, Jesus says it's wrong. We have a standard. Jesus says that all people are made in his image. All people have value and worth, be it free or slave. And in the West, historically, because of Jesus, it was his teaching that brought about the end of slavery. When we looked at the book of Philemon on a Sunday morning, we saw that Paul exhorts Philemon to treat Onesimus, a slave, as more than a slave, but rather as a beloved brother. The Bible says you cannot have a master-slave relationship. You've got to have a family relationship. You ought to treat your slaves as being family members. You ought to treat your slaves as being equal. And if you have that mindset, slavery will disappear. The abolition of slavery, the reason that people can be free in our society, the reason we have freedom, is as a direct result of the Lord Jesus Christ. The early church fought hard to outlaw slavery, and they succeeded. If we look at history, we see that the abolition of slavery did not happen in the 19th century alone. Rather, it actually happened centuries earlier. The church managed to get slavery outlawed in the empires of the world of that day. But when Islam arose up, and Islam invaded Christian lands, they reintroduced slavery. And for many centuries after that, slavery was in the land. Until the 19th century, when Christians such as William Wilberforce said, the slave is my brother, and fought against slavery because of Jesus. And as a result of Wilberforce and those who worked with him, freedom rang out. But freedom came as a result of Jesus coming to this world. If Jesus had never been born, what kind of society would we have today? Perhaps some of us would be slaves. See, the light has come to the darkness. As Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You see, the darkness that we've seen historically in our land and the darkness we see today can be put to flight because of Jesus. The freedoms we enjoy are all as a result of Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, with the coming of the Bible, that was the true Magna Carta. That was the true Great Charter of Freedom. Because when the Bible's teaching got into society, when the knowledge of Christ and what he had done permeated society, that's when freedom came. That's when everything changed. And the world we know would be radically different if Christ had never been born. But as we think about the impact that Christ has had on our world for good, we also need to consider, in closing, what would happen if our society continues to cut the branch off that they are sitting on? What would happen if our society continues to run back towards the darkness and reject the light? You see, as a nation, we are on a path to returning to paganism. And that's not good for our nation. That's not good for the people of this land. If we return to darkness, you can expect to see children being declared as having no value and no worth. Hang on, we're already seeing that with abortion, the murder of babies in the womb. We're seeing it in some parts of the Western world where if an abortion fails and the baby is born alive, then that baby is to stay on that table and not be given medical care until the child dies. That's infanticide. We see that women lose value and worth and dignity by returning to darkness. We see that occur when the distinction between the sexes is removed. If we're all the same, then how can women be treated any different to anyone else? When men think they can become women, the distinction of man and woman is lost. And as a result, a woman just becomes one of the boys. And she'll not be treated with dignity and respect that is due to her. She'll not be treated, as the Bible says, as a weaker vessel, as a precious one, as one that should be cared for and loved. We're seeing that. If we continue in the darkness, then what's going to happen to the elderly? Well, they're already discussing that, aren't they? We get rid of sick cats, let's get rid of sick people too. Euthanasia. The murder of the sick, the infirm, the elderly, by the hands of doctors or by the hand of self, has growing support in our Western lands. That's a return to darkness. What about slavery? Well, our freedoms are always at risk. The modern slave trade is strong. And there's millions of slaves in the world today, including in Western countries. Sex slavery is one of the biggest forms of slavery. Many of the pornography websites have been busted for engaging in sex slavery. But there's also slavery when states overreach and begin to regulate worship and regulate what free people can and can't do. We need to be aware that a return to darkness is a casting off of freedom. The light has shined in the darkness, and things improved dramatically because of Jesus. Yet our society is turning its back on Christ. If we want to see our nation prosper, if we want to see our Western lands and indeed all nations have what's best for them, then they need the gospel. They need the truth of Jesus. They need to be called to come and submit to their Lord, to come and worship Him. Now, time does not permit us to look at the other areas that Christ has impacted. Christ has changed the areas of health and medicine, of science, of politics, of education. You'll be amazed when you start looking at what Christ has done in our world. You'll be amazed at what Christianity has brought about. So let me encourage you to read just a couple of books on this topic. A couple of books which look in depth at what Christ has done includes the book called The Book That Made Your World by Vishal Mangalwadi. Vishal Mangalwadi is an Indian theologian and an evangelical. He wrote a book called The Book That Made Your World. He looks at the impact the Bible has had upon civilization and says without the Bible, you've got nothing. A fascinating read. Another book that is worth reading is What If Jesus Had Never Been Born by D. James Kennedy. What If Jesus Had Never Been Born by D. James Kennedy. An excellent book written from a Christian perspective as well, saying, look at the impact that Christianity has had upon the world, and the world is now better because of the coming of Jesus. But, you know, people might dismiss those books and say, well, you know, they're just Christian books. Of course they're going to say that Jesus has impacted the world for better. Well, if that's the case, then I would recommend the book How the West Won by Rodney Stark. How the West Won by Rodney Stark, a non-Christian. And he says, if you get rid of Christianity, we have no Western civilization. We have no freedom. We have nothing. That's a secular historian. See, ladies and gentlemen, what we need to realize is this. At Christmas, it's more than just a babe born in a cradle in the middle of nowhere. Rather, that with the coming of the Lord Jesus, everything has changed. The darkness in our society is changed because of the coming of the light. The darkness of our own hearts is changed because of the coming of Jesus. The darkness that we have in our society is merely a fruit of the darkness we have in our hearts. But thanks be to God, He has provided a way for us to have new hearts, with new desires, to have light in our life. And the way He does that is by coming to be our Saviour. He does it by dying on the cross for us and rising again from the dead to pay the penalty for our sin. And now Jesus calls on us to turn from our darkness and turn to the light. And if we would do that, then we'd see everything change in our lives. And if our society does that, we'll see everything change in society as well. So this Christmas, let us consider that Jesus has impacted and changed everything. That the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners, to be a light in the darkness, and to change everything. Lord, we do pray that tonight you would search our hearts and know our hearts. And Lord, if there be darkness in our hearts, we pray that tonight we would turn to Jesus, the light, that we would turn from our sins and trust only in him, and may we be made brand new. And Lord, we do thank you for past victories, for past battles won, where the light shone brightly in this land, and that things improved because of the message of Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. But Lord, as we look at our land, we can't live in the past any longer. We're seeing a nation that is returning to paganism, a land that is running back towards the darkness. Oh, Father, would you please change that? Would you please have mercy upon this land? Would you grant your people courage and boldness to carry the light of the gospel into all spheres of human influence? May we carry Christ into our workplaces, into schools, into the public arena, into politics, everywhere. May the light of the gospel be held up. And Lord, by your grace, we ask that you turn this nation back to you, that this land would once again see the light of the gospel, and that we would run to the Saviour. Oh Lord, we know this is not too hard for you. So we ask that you please act for the glory and the fame of the Lord Jesus. Amen.